Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
And the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name." You may be seated. We like to talk primarily about God can open the door and does open the door that no man can shut. But I want to talk to you for a few moments today on when God closes a door, because God does close a door. Closed doors are the venue for trusting God or for faith failure. When you are all excited in the projects of life and a door closes abruptly before you, at that point in time, you're either going to celebrate your faith or you're going to doubt God and question what God is doing. Perhaps the synonym for door in this context can be a job, an opportunity, or a relationship. When a door closes in your life, you have to determine if God really shut that door. Sometimes God doesn't shut the door at all. Sometimes it's just the winds of fortune or the whim of man that shuts that door. If that door closes like that, it doesn't necessarily have to stay closed. If you've been in my office, from my office to Becky's office, there's two offices in between and another little area, but behind all of that is a hallway. And at the end of that hallway is a door, or two doors, one at each one, and a little shifting in the time. And if you live in San Antonio, the land does shift. In fact, it's shifting more in Texas than it's ever been. I'm really big on preparation, and I added to our insurance policy this past year for this church, earthquake insurance. We've never had much earthquakes here, but if those towers would fall, I'd be concerned. And so I added on all, and it wasn't very expensive because I think the fracking that they're doing is causing some earthquakes. But anyway, there was a little shifting. And so both of those doors that when we built this building 13 years ago, they stood open very nicely, but they've got that little habit of just closing now. Well, now, I could make an assumption that God is closing that door and he doesn't want Sister Becky and I to have any more fellowship, that we're not supposed to go down that hall. Or I can understand that sometimes it's just the shifting of time. And so all you got to do is you got to take two onyx little horse heads I got and put one on me at the door. They stand open fine now. So make sure when a door closes that you know why it closes. Is it really the will of God? You need to check and see if you can open the door. If you can open the door, God didn't close it. Because every door God closes, he locks. He said, "When I close a door, no man can open it." And so you'll have these things in your life that close. Don't give up too early. But on the other hand, when you realize and discern God's closed this door, don't try to take the hinges off. Don't get you a chainsaw and try to cut the door down. Say, "It is obvious to me that God has closed this door." Hardly anything, if anything, lasts forever. Most things are seasonal. And when things are seasonal and they're over, God does close the door. But God only closed the door for two reasons. When you find something in your life that you've really enjoyed, somebody you really enjoyed, an opportunity that's been a blessing, and it closes, and you know God did this, and I don't know why. Well, just have faith in God. Trust God. But you can also be assured that God only closes the door for two reasons. Number one is to protect you from something or somebody, or to provide you with something you don't have. That's the only two reasons why God ever closes the door. When you read the story of Noah, it's quite a story. God looked at man and saw that his heart was continually evil and considered just destroying everything. But then the Bible said this, that Noah had built an ark, and the Lord shut him in. The Lord closed the door to protect him from the past and to provide him with a future. When God closes your door, he will protect you from the past, and he will provide for you a future. So don't be alarmed. God wanted to keep somebody out of that ark, because the same people that had contaminated earth would have contaminated the ark. He had to keep those people out, and he had to keep Noah and his family in. Sometimes people are contaminating your life, and God closes the door to shut those people out. And so don't try to tear down a door that God has closed. Number one, let's talk about the door of resurrection. You remember the story of Jairus, however you want to pronounce his name? It's not Bobby's, all I know. You remember the story of his daughter, she died. They summoned Jesus to come to pray for her in her sickness, and by the time he got there, she was dead, and they still wanted Jesus to come because they were desperate for their little daughter. And Jesus comes there, and the Bible said it this way, he suffered no man to follow him save Peter, James, and John. Everyone else he locked out behind the door. There's just a little girl that's dead and his three closest disciples. Now, why would Jesus do that? Friend, when you sense a door is closed in your life, the best thing you can do is take inventory. Look around and see if there are other doors that are available to you immediately. And if those appear to be good doors, that's one of the fallacies of youth. There appear to be so many open doors, you don't know which one to walk through. And if you don't have godly parents and you're not involved in a godly ministry and you don't have leadership in your life, you have no clue. And you're like the Ethiopian eunuch. You said, how can I know except some man guide me? And so the fallacy of youth is the apparent opening door. As you get older, the doors get fewer and fewer and fewer. And then if you're not very careful, you'll find yourself in a room that seemingly has no door, and you will begin to question the Lord. Why was this door shut and another door has not opened up to me? The story that I'm talking about, the little 12-year-old damsel, Jairus' daughter, that's dead. Jesus has brought with him just his three closest disciples, locked everybody else out. Let me explain this to you. If you are a real child of God, and every door closes to you, and you find yourself in a locked room, it means that you are in the presence of the Lord, and you're about to see the most amazing thing in your life, because it is the door of resurrection. Something that you thought was totally lost in your life is going to be resurrected. It's going to be resurrected to the fullness of life. And so don't question the Lord. The key to this whole little study that I'm talking about is trusting the Lord. Don't panic when a door shuts. Know that you're dealing with the one that declares himself, I am the door and I am the resurrection. How can we be fearful if we're shut up in a locked room with the one that declares he is the door and he is the resurrection? Everything you need is in him. And so don't panic when that door locks. Sometimes he wants to lock you in and the world out, because he is preparing to perform a resurrection in your life that the like has never been seen and you have never, ever experienced before. Most of you, many of you, would know the story of Dodie Osteen. The Osteen family is one of the most wonderful families in America. And Dodie Osteen, over 20 years, 30-some years ago now, when she was in her late 40s or around 50 years of age, she was diagnosed with incurable disease. She went from doctor to doctor, specialist to specialist. Money was no problem. They could hire the very best. Many of you don't know, Joel has a brother named Paul. He's the administrator of the church now, but he is a surgeon by trade. He gave that ministry up as a surgeon to become the ministry, to become the administrator of Lakewood Church. But he was highly involved in getting medical care for his mother, and there simply was no medical cure for her. She got down to 80 pounds, but John Osteen was an amazing man of God, and he and Dodie agreed, God's not through with us yet as a couple, and we're going to have a miracle. And so they went in their bedroom, and they locked the door. They had a little suite there. And they told their family, you won't see us again until your mother is healed. 3 days they stayed in that suite. They prayed, they read the scripture, they encouraged one another. They just stayed there until finally they felt in the Holy Spirit that God had healed Dodie. They opened the door, walked out, and said, I am healed. And 30-some years later, she's now in her 80s. Dodie Osteen is still alive and still ministering and doing the work of God. There was no door, but there was a resurrection. And friend, many times before there is an open door, there has to be a resurrection. Somebody in this building right now does not have an answer for what you need to do, what you need, where you need to go, who you need to embrace. I would encourage you, do not abandon the room that God has assigned you, but just rest in the presence of the Lord and glorify Him and declare He is the resurrection. And when He is through resurrecting in me what needs to live again, suddenly there will be a door. And the Bible said that He took the damsel by the hand and He presented that 12-year-old daughter, and they were greatly astonished. Somebody in this building that feels like all the doors are closed or on the verge of the greatest resurrection of your life, and what God is going to do for you is going to be astonishing to all the people that have given up on you. Outside of that door, everybody had given up. The little 12-year-old girl was dead. It's time to make funeral arrangements, not so quick. And somebody's given up on you, but not so quick. God's not through with you yet. He's resurrecting things in you. And praise God, He's about to open the door and present you to them. Number two, the door of relationships. The door of relationships. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable me for the ministry. That's 2 Timothy 4:10 and 11. Friend, I'm going to tell you that very few relationships last a lifetime. Very few. If you are in the will of God and you're faithful, you can have a spouse that you'll have a lifetime relationship. But very few are lifetime relationships. And some of the people that you love dearly and some of the people that are a blessing in your life, for a variety of reasons, those relationships come to an end. And Paul apparently had a great affinity for Demas. He had a great hope for this relationship. There would have been not just the book of Timothy, but if Demas could have remained, there would have been a book of Demas. He invested himself. That's what pastoring is. Pastors become extremely bitter. And the reason why they do is the high hopes they have for people and the investment they make in people that just never pan out. Pastors would do well to counsel themselves and say no relationship lasts forever. Count it for what it was. Rejoice for what you receive from it. But do not become embittered just because that relationship ends. And the Apostle Paul said, I'm sorry Demas has forsaken me. But he said, by the way, would you bring Mark? He's profitable to me. He was ready to move on. Friends, cohorts, families, or even spouses will forsake you. They will forsake you in life. And there's nothing you can do about that. Sometimes it's not anybody's fault. Sometimes it's just circumstance. But regardless of why it happens, are you going to shut down your ministry? Paul could have said, I can't do this by myself. I'm going to quit these missionary endeavors. And he said, no. He said, I'm sorry that he has forsaken me, but if you don't mind, bring Mark unto me, because I will not quit simply because a relationship ceases to be. Now, the best relationship, for an example, is a husband and wife. That's the epitome of relationship. Everything else is subordinate to that. But relationships just have a way of ending. And if you are not real understanding that this door is closed, you know, I've said it so many times, that divorce is never the will of God. But after every divorce, there is a will of God. When I was a young pastor, somebody came to me and complained that somebody got a divorce in the church and they were now remarried. And I said, I just have one question. What do you want me to do? How should we kill them? Should we shoot them with a gun? You want to hang them in the sanctuary? He looked. I said, you're saying that we need to totally destroy these people. There's nobody that got involved in that divorce, but it's over. That relationship has ended. Good, bad, or indifferent, that relationship is ended. And so, Paul, you can't quit being an apostle. You can't quit being an evangelist. You can't quit being a missionary. You must say, just send me Mark. I wish Demas was still here, but that door of relationship is closed. And so I'm not going to lay down at that door and die. Oh, I've had so many good friends in my life, and hardly any of them I'm talking about in the ministry are left. One of my greatest friends and the man that I held in the greatest esteem, he's been married 4 or 5 times. He's a hopeless alcoholic. He destroyed thousands of people's lives. I had to admit one day that relationship was over. And when he called me and said, I'm dedicating my new extension of my church, can you come and preach? That dedication, I said, no, I can't. He said, well, would you just come and let my people see you sit on the platform that you'll know that they'll know we're still friends? I said, no, I won't. He said, will you let Becky come and sing? I said, no, she can't come and sing either. That was one of my most difficult phone calls in my life. But I knew that man was destroying lives. I knew that door had closed. And I had one decision to make, and that is, do I just lay down here and quit? Because I was 20-some years of age, and he was 30-some years of age, and he was a phenomenon. Do I just quit, or I just say, that door's closed, but it's not going to stop me, because God has called me, and no door that God closes is the end for me. He will always open another door. Don't quit. Don't let a closed door be the end of it. See if God's going to resurrect it. See if God's going to open another door. But God has got your future well in His hands. Friends and family, they can just be so opposed to what the will of God is for your life that the door has to close. It just has to. I know of a situation that happened just in the last several years. This was a wonderful family. They had 2 children. They pastored a major, major church. But the pastor became involved with another woman. And so it was finally revealed, and they made $300,000 a year. They lived in a $500,000 house. The church provided 2 Lexuses, gave them an unlimited credit card. All of this was, they had the storybook American dream. And when this happened, this woman was so broken. She had 2 children, probably 12 or 13 in age, that she was willing to forgive. She was willing to forget. She was willing to restore. But he said, no, we're not doing that. I'm leaving with this girl. She was totally devastated. She had a choice now. What does she do with her life? She was late 30s. When you're in your late 30s or late 40s, you don't weigh what you did when you were 18. When Becky and I got married, I was 6 feet tall, and I weighed 135 pounds. I don't even know why she married anybody that skinny. I must have looked like Don Knotts. This woman's life is totally destroyed. She tries everything she can to reconcile, but he will have nothing to do with her. He's abandoned the wife of his youth and the mother of his children. She is totally devastated. She's got two choices. She can have a nervous breakdown, which she deserves. She chose not to do that. She chose to join a health club and drop 20 pounds. She dropped 20 pounds and just happened to be in the right church service at the right time when somebody said, "See that woman there? She's single." And the man came up and introduced, he said, "I'm so-and-so." Come to find out his wife had deceased about 2 years prior. So they struck up a little relationship. Just happened that he is a multi-millionaire. Oh, let me explain. She doesn't have a Lexus to drive anymore. She now drives a Bentley. He has millions of dollars. The guy that abandoned her, I heard about him a while back. He was living in a trailer in his dad's backyard. Friend, I don't care who it is. When that door shuts, you've got a choice. I'm going to die because of somebody else, or I'm going to believe that God is going to open a new door for me, and I'm not going to die behind a closed door. I'm just not going to do it. The third door, the door of revenue, the revenue stream. It happens. It happens to many, many people. People that work hard, people that educate themselves, people that prepare. Economy changes. Things change. The revenue stream simply is no more. Even when God is your friend, when God has said, "Go down to the brook Cherith, and I will command the ravens to feed thee there," that is just great. But there is a problem that after a while, I quote from the Bible, that the brook dried up because there had been no rain. There's going to be a time in your life that is very likely that what you've prepared for and worked hard for just changes. There's a revenue stream that stops. The brook is no more. I just happen to read, as I do, I read so much about Lee Iacocca. I don't know whether you remember that name or not. He's now 93 years of age. Lee Iacocca was the brains behind the most profitable car that's ever been made in America. How many know what that is? It used to be the GTO, but no, it's the Mustang. He worked for Ford. He was the president of Ford. And Mustang was his brainchild. Pinto was his brainchild. Pinto turned out not to be a great car, but it was extremely lucrative for Ford. He put Ford on the map when they were in trouble. But Hank Ford, which was Henry Ford III, they called him Hank. Hank really was very competitive with Lee. Hank was kind of the owner and the director of the board and the CEO, but Lee was the president of the company, and he made them so much money. At the peak of his success, Hank Ford called him in and said, "Lee, you're fired." Just like that. And the guy had put them out of bankruptcy to being rich again. Well, now Lee, he's a little older at that time. He's in his 60s. He had the choice to say, "Well, the door is closed, and so I'm just quitting." But Chrysler was in bankruptcy. Chrysler was getting ready to be no more. And they called him, and I saw the notes of the interview. The head of Chrysler said, "I want you to become the president of Chrysler." He said, "Why do I feel like I'm interviewing for the job as the captain of the Titanic?" And finally they persuaded him to become the head of Chrysler, which was in bankruptcy. Chrysler was losing $150 million, not a year, but every quarter. $600 million a year Chrysler was losing. Lee Iacocca went to Jimmy Carter and the powers that be and talked the United States government into loaning him $1.5 billion. And then he bought He bought the American car company, which was the owner of Jeep, just because he wanted Jeeps. And then he invented what we now would call our car that so many people like, the SUV. He's the guy that came out with the first SUV. He paid back $1.5 billion loan 7 years early. The point is, he was 67 years of age, at retirement age, when all of this happened, and he literally, single-handedly, brought Chrysler back to one of the forces of this world. It's amazing what he could do. Friend, he simply did that because he said, when a door closes, it's never the end. There's always another door somewhere. That's exactly what happened to the woman that appealed to the prophet. She said, you know, I am a widow of a prophet, and they have come to take my sons because their creditors are here and I can't pay them, and I have nothing in my house. Oh, a pot of oil, that's it. But all the prophet had to do was convince her that when her prophet husband died, that door was closed. He ain't never coming back. You ain't never getting a paycheck from that guy again. It's over. He didn't file for Social Security. You don't have any income. But there's got to be another door somewhere in your house. Is there? No. Just one pot of oil. That's the door. She went from being a pitiful widow woman with two children who are about to be repossessed. You know you're poor when they're about to repossess your kids. She went from being that poor, pathetic woman to an oil executive in 24 hours. Friend, I'm telling you that there is always another door. It is your faith and your trust in God that says, I do not care what happens. I serve a God that will never leave me nor forsake me. When God closes the door, he's protecting me from something or somebody, and he is getting ready to provide me with something that I have never even dreamed of. Friend, God is always there for you. I saw this friend that I'm going to tell you about in a restaurant last year, and I told him, I've been telling this story about you, Ed. Can I keep telling it? And he said, tell it to me. I told him, he said, it's exactly right. Keep telling it, preacher. I don't know what kind of a Christian Ed is, maybe a Catholic, maybe nothing. I don't know, but he's kind of a friend of mine, but he's never wanted to talk anything about Christianity to me, but he is a friend of mine. But Ed was the manager of a lumber company here in San Antonio, one of the chains around America. They went bankrupt. They went out of business. And at that time, Ed's probably about 50 years of age. When you're 50, it's tough to get out in the workplace and find you a new job. There's kids ahead of you that are computer savvy. They got more energy. They got all of this. But it doesn't matter what age you are. You can be 16 years of age. I promise you, there's a door open for you. You can be 76 years of age. I promise you, there's a door open for you. Because the proof that there is a door open, because a door closed. Anytime God closed a door, he said, I'll open a door that no man can shut. And so Ed went to another one of my friends here in San Antonio that owned five lumber companies. A total stranger showed up and said, this is my resume. And Johnny said, I'm sorry, we're not hiring right now. He said, whether you're hiring or not, I'm working here. I'll report in the morning. He said, no, you're not. He said, yes, I know the lumber business. I'll be working here tomorrow. You don't have to pay me. I'll be here every day for 6 months. For 6 months, he worked without a paycheck. At the end of that, Johnny said to Ed, said, not only do I hire you, you're not going to work in this store. You're going to be over all five of my stores. You are so invaluable. I don't know how I've ever had a business without you. So he worked about 5 years as the manager over those stores. And Johnny literally cried when he came in and said, I'm resigning my job today because I bought my own lumber company in another city. And when I had dinner with him last year, he had two lumber companies. He's now in his 70s. He's installed his children there, and he is a multimillionaire. He should have retired. He should have given up when the door closed, but he just would not. Because he recognized that when God closed the door, he's going to open a bigger and better door. Somebody in this building right now, not everybody, but somebody probably on the back seat or halfway there, has faced a closed door in your life lately. It might be in your relationship. It might be in something that has died. It might be in your revenue stream. Somehow you faced a closed door, and you did good today to get up and brush your teeth and comb your hair and put on your jeans and tennis shoes and come to the house of God, because you certainly didn't feel like it, because you're tired of looking at closed doors and you're just putting one foot in front of another one and just barely getting through. I've come here to tell you three things. That number one, those relationships are over. Number two, that situation is dead. Number three, that revenue stream is dried up. But there is a solution to every one of those. Those things that are dead can be resurrected. That relationship that is dead can be replaced. And I want to tell you this, that God is ready to give you a brand new revenue stream. And so if you're in this building without anybody else, everybody keep your seat, because I'm waiting for one man or one woman to stand up, embarrass yourself, say, I don't care what these other people say or think. Praise God, I'm the man, I'm the woman he's talking about. That relationship is over, I'll never shed another tear. That job is through, I'll never go begging to them again. But praise God, I'm coming to this altar right now, and I'm admitting that God closed the door, but praise God, God's going to open the door, and he's going to do it yet in the month of September, in the name of Jesus Christ. If that's you, run, do not walk to this altar. Throw both hands up in the air and begin to praise the God of the open door, because God is on your side in the name of Jesus. Everybody else now, would you stand to your feet and put your hands up and begin to worship the Lord that is a God of an open door to our life in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm believing for miracles. I'm believing for miracles as I touch you folks. I'm believing in marital relationships, business relationships, friendships, family relationships. I'm believing in revenue streams. I'm believing in dead things coming back to life. I'm believing that God is going to bring you into new relationships with people that need to come into your life. There's some man waiting to give into your bosom, some person waiting to sow into your bosom. And as I touch you, I'm agreeing that exactly what you need is going to come to pass in your life. And it's not going to be 5 years from now. It's going to be in the next several days. In the name of Jesus, I call it done, my brother. In the name of Jesus, my